Father, as always, I thank you. We are here again. Hallelujah. Gathered together to fellowship one with another. And truly, our fellowship is with you first, then with one another, and around your word. As we listen to that word this morning, all afternoon, let the entrance of it into our hearts bring light and give us understanding. Hallelujah. Strengthen everyone that is here today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we just entered into the last 7 months of this year. And I was going to do this yesterday, but I had to do that room yesterday as a review of the day before because of the glitch that was in the replay. Also today, I am going to do this one here by the grace of God. And I want to make sure that everyone is ready. Are you ready? Well, over the next few days, I will be praying, seeking the Lord, even fasting for everyone that's in this room. God will do something special for you. Hallelujah. The next 7 months of this year, and I want you to join me every day as much as you can. Today, well, let's start here in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Today's lesson, I was going to title it slightly differently, but at least one of the words that I was trying to use in the title was not permitted. The word was thrust them out, you know, and enter in. That's the title that I wanted to give. But the word thrust was one of those words that they had blacklisted for whatever reason. Anyway, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the instructions that God gave the children of Israel, you know, on their journey to the promised land. But before I get there, let me just read Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. And we want to just see how the Lord gives his people confidence. Hallelujah. Confidence. Praise God. Now, the eternal God, he said, is thy refuge. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. And underneath are his everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before you. And he shall say, destroy them. Now, we're not talking of human beings here. You know, so, you know, let nobody even think that. We are talking about spiritual forces, spiritual wickedness in high places, you know, and principalities and powers that sit, you know, over certain regions and certain days, certain seasons, certain cycles, and the gates of hell that say you will not go in, trying to prevent you from going into what God has promised you. Well, you know, we are going to thrust them out and destroy them so that you may get into your possessions. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's the charge that the Lord is going to give us over the next couple of days. Now, don't be absent. You be here. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1. And here is the real serious part of this lesson today. Glory to God. Prophetically, you might say that we have 7 forces. Well, for each of these remaining 7 months this year, there are some things that we must utterly thrust out and destroy and get that which the Lord has promised for this year. Well, they are called the Hittites, that's number 1. The Girgashites, that's number 2. The Amorites, that's number 3. The Canaanites, that's number 4. The Perizzites, that's number 5. The Hivites, that's number 6. And the Jebusites, number 7. And I'm going to be revealing what these things represent. And these forces are sitting over the next 7 months trying to prevent you from getting into your possessions. I'm going to call them out. I'm going to cast them out. Thrust them out from before you so that you can enter in and possess. Glory to God. You know, now, not taking any prisoners. No, not today. Not over the next few days. We are going to utterly destroy. You know the Lord, when he, every time he gave the children of Israel these instructions against these wicked nations that were sitting in the land that God had promised them, he would say, utterly destroy them. Don't even mess around. Don't company with them. Don't fellowship with them. Don't associate with them. Destroy them utterly. Now, we're not talking about people here, but I want to talk about some forces. I'm going to call them out that we must destroy utterly. Now, don't even mess around with them. Don't even play around. We're not playing, folks. We are not playing. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. But this time around, we're not playing at all. We're not just shouting for nothing. We are burning down the defense of the enemy. Or what the enemy thought he put out against us, we're actually going to, pass through. Now, this nation said, you will not pass through. The Lord said, well, not only will you pass through, you're going to thrust them out and destroy them and go in and possess. So, are you ready? That's the, you got to strap on, strap on right now. Suit up, because we're not playing at all around right now. We are ready to go in and possess. Enough already. For every battle of the warrior has been with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. Isaiah 9 and 5. But this one shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now, some people like to call down fire and so forth. I'm going to show you things to call down fire on. Not the other things that people like to call. You can't call fire down on people. We're not talking about people here. But talking about forces of darkness, that come in so many ways to dispossess you of what the Lord has promised you. But we, on the other hand, the ones that are going to dispossess, get them out of there so that we can enter into our inheritance. Now, did not the Lord say earlier this year, the beginning of this year, that this year you shall emerge? Then how come you are not emerging? Emerge means many things. Well, not only, does it mean come out of the shadows, it also means that you must advance. So anything that is hindering your advancement, well, we've got some things that we have to do here over the next few days. You know, something must come into view in your life over the next 7 months, because this is the year that God promised, and that spiritual aspects are coming into our place in the Lord. That sonship that we were talking about, there is also physical, you know, there's material. You know, the thing is that even though the Lord commanded us not to pursue after physical and material things, yet the Lord will give them to us to settle us, you know, so that, you know, we can do all the things that he wants us to do for the kingdom. You know, but we're not going to set our hearts on anything that is beneath. We're going to set our affections on things that are above. But that being said, you know, people have been deceived into thinking that, oh, well, you know, I don't need to be materialistic. I just need to, you know, serve the Lord. Well, you know, check it out in the scriptures. Ye yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. What was his grace? How did he trade places with us? You know, so the key thing is we've got to balance these things. What Jesus did for us was he traded places for your sakes. According to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we're told that he became poor for your sakes, so that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, what is that rich thing that he's talking about? Well, it covers all spheres, spiritually, materially, you know. But I want to tell you, you know, more materially in this verse than anything else, because Jesus never became poor spiritually. Oh, no. Because in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And God gave him not the spirit by measure. And he never lost sight of that. You know, the aspect that he's talking about in this verse is your physical and material and earthly well-being. That's what he's talking about. Because you see that Christ was born as a lowly person. He came in, I mean, when his mother was pregnant and about to deliver, there was even no place found for them in any inn, any hotel, or anything like that, you know. And they had to be born among donkeys, you know, and in a manger and things like that, sleeping, making his cradle on hay and everything, because they couldn't find any place. And they just, that's the only place they could find. I mean, it was like something that nobody would do in their right mind. Everybody had a place. You know, worst case scenario, they'd give birth in their own home. But he was born in a stable. And I put a little manger in there. He was born in a stable. Stable with horses and donkeys and things like that. Well, that's what he stripped himself of. He was never stripped himself in the spirit. But he stripped himself in these things so that we might become rich. Well, why is this important? Well, because most of the time people struggle with life. And that, you know, just makes the people of God a bit handicapped when you're struggling. God wants to give you peace. God wants to give you, you know, these things. You know, Jesus said it repeatedly. You know, he said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were dealing with that quite a bit, you know, but we want to call your attention to that again. Is it the Father's good pleasure to give it to you, according to Luke chapter 12 and verse 32? I mean, is it? Well, that's what Jesus said. And because he said so, well, we better believe it. You know, it was the Father's good pleasure to give them the promised land, the land of Canaan, a land dwelling with milk and honey. And he promised it, but the devil is going to make sure they don't get there. You know, it's going to be all these nations, seven nations, you know, that are stronger than Israel and going to make sure they don't get in. Deuteronomy chapter 7, again, and verse 1. And he said, these nations, seven nations that are greater and mightier than thou, the Lord will deliver, you know, them before you. You will smack them, destroy them, make no covenant with them, and show no mercy to them. Make no marriages with them either. Don't do it now, because they will turn your heart against the Lord. You know, but you will thrust them out. So what are these Hittites and these Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, you know, that have sat pretty over these next 7 months? You know, one time, Daniel, he was made to understand that there was a prince of Persia. He didn't know that at all. I mean, he was just praying and believing God and so forth. And the Lord actually sent the answers to him. But lo and behold, for 21 days. Well, thank God it was, in his own case, only 21 days. You know, for some of you, that's a whole lot more than that. You can read the story in Daniel chapter 10. You know, but today we need to have some understanding. Hallelujah. Because the angel said to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Daniel 10 and 12. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me these 21 days. I mean, Daniel was mourning for 3 full weeks. You know, was praying and seeking the Lord. He didn't know that his prayer was already heard, and there was already something dispatched for him, but, you know, there was a battle in the heavenlies. And Daniel, while he kept on praying, the angel that was coming couldn't get through because of the prince of Persia. Well, the children of Israel couldn't get through because of these seven nations. And let me say this, let me declare this right now. Blow the trumpet in Zion. You know, let me blow this trumpet, you know, and put all these seven forces on notice right now that the children of God were coming through. Hallelujah. We are coming through this year. So hear ye, all ye forces that are gathered together against the children of God to, you know, try to dispossess us of the inheritance of the Lord that he has promised us. This year, you will indeed emerge. You are coming into your own. Glory to God. But there are, over the next 7 months, some forces we have to deal with. And I'll be calling them out. Not exactly today. Over the next couple of days, I just want to prepare your hearts. You know, and I ask you, you know, to join me in fasting and prayers over the next couple of days. You know, and let's see what the Lord will do for you. Remember, Jesus said, there are certain things that cannot be pushed out except by fasting and prayers. Well, you know, I believe in a lot in fasting and prayers. You know, and I often don't like to fast and pray for things that I should already have. I don't do that. I fast and pray for other things. You know, however, these ones that we are dealing with right now, and not for me, actually. Jesus said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. It's not exactly for me, but for you, the people of God. Here's what the Lord, you know, I laid on my heart to do. And I think about the people all the time, and you, the precious people that come onto this platform. You know, it's a trust. You know, when you are, and when people trust, put their faith and trust their spiritual lives into you, into your hands. I mean, my goodness, that's not something to be trifled with. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, being a pastor and all, knowing that, I mean, that's, you know, as far as I know, that's the greatest job or greatest responsibility. Not because you are paid to do it. Well, I've never been paid to be a pastor. Not a penny in my life, you know, but I am one. And a pastor is a shepherd. And Jesus said, look, the word of God says, take heed to thy flock. Look well to the states of thy herd. And you got to do some things sometimes. Make sure that they get through. And they got to get through. And so, you know, especially, you know, when we believe in the word of God, and when we are declaring the word of God, and yet, you know, these things are not coming through. Well, it is because of these forces that are preventing you from getting through. And then the people look and say, well, the vision is for a long time. Because, you know, this thing is delayed. Well, that's what the enemy would like to have you think. The longer he can delay, his hope is that eventually weary you out, you get tired and give up. But we're not going to give up. We're not going to be giving, not even to those delaying, you know, tactics. We're not going to give up. There is a, you know, when the Lord commands certain things for people, you know, when the Lord commands movement for you, there are some spirits that will try to prevent you from moving forward. You know, from time to time, I've alluded to them in this room, but over the next couple of days, I'm coming full force against these things. You know, there are certain sluggish spirits. You know, it's like the spirit of the snail spirit. The devil, you know, will take advantage of even some mistakes that we make in our lives. Procrastination. It's one of it. I'm going to call out these things over the next few days. And that will lead to some things, you know, I'm going to call out these, these things, every one of these next 7 months, because we must cross over into your possession. And there are these nations, they are positioned over these next 7 months to make sure you don't cross over and you don't attain, you know, what God has promised. But we are going to expose and we are going to take our possessions. Expose the plans of the enemy and his tactics. You know, there's a way that the enemy is very cunning like that, you know. He's very cunning. In fact, Jesus recognizes that. I mean, he said, look, you yourself be wise as serpents. However, be harmless like doves. You know, because the serpent, he call up like that, ready to strike, but he can hide himself, you know. And, well, the eye of the eagle. Glory to God. I've seen it. And he can't, you know, no, not anymore. Enough already. There's something that the Lord said in the book of Revelation chapter 10. And here's how he said it even. He said, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, he means business. He's not playing. And I had in his hand a little book open. Well, he got that book in Revelation chapter 5. But now, I mean, in that chapter, John was crying because nobody could open the book. But he stepped forth, got that book. Not only did he open it, I mean, he opened seal after seal, seal after seal, seal after seal. Now, he's a mighty angel. He's ready to possess everything. He set his foot, right foot upon the sea, his left foot on the earth. I mean, like this colossal figure, he stride, you know, I mean, he's, you know, he's got this, a stride over everything. He's got one foot over here, one foot over there, land and sea, gonna possess all. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. Well, he's got that lion spirit inside of him. They call him the Lion of Judah. They don't call him that for nothing. You know, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. My goodness. And there were some things in those seven thunders that John actually understood what they said. You know, and remember, the Lord told him at the beginning, the things which thou hast seen, you know, write, you know, and send it to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor at the time. And the things you hear, the things you see, you know. And so, well, according to the commandment, you know, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, just like he was commanded to write. And then he heard another instruction. I say, well, not this part. Yes, you were commanded to write everything which you see, but and hear. But not this part. Don't even write a word. Now, he heard everything, you know, and he understood it, and he was going to write it. But the commandment came forward and said, not this one. Don't do it now. See, because if you write it ahead of time, see, the devil, now he knows your game plan, and he's going to try to foul it up. Now, the devil, he has no originality in himself. He's got to wait for God to make a move and then try to foul it up. But in those seven thunders, there are some things how God will finally checkmate the devil. It's in there. So he said, seal it up. Write nothing. Checkmate. You say, well, absolutely. You know, the Lord, he can make one move and checkmate the devil right from the beginning of the game. If you know the game of chess, there are great players, they can come in there you know. But if two great players are playing, my goodness, who's going to checkmate the other? A checkmate is a move or is a warning that you give to your opponent and say, well, every move you make, you're going to be in a check situation. And check is when your most powerful thing, which is the queen, there, they're trying to protect, is in a precarious situation. And you can't make, if you make a move, it puts you in check. You got to make another move so you don't put it in this situation. And if you have no more moves that you can make, then it's checkmate. Glory to God. And that devil, God can checkmate him anytime. You know, but God has a plan. He has a process that he wants us to go through. Otherwise, he can call the checkmate anytime. He can just say, checkmate. And you look down on the board and you see that any move you make is going to put your queen in another check situation, then it's checkmate. Game over. And it's coming game over for that devil. But it's in phases. Now, the greatest aspect of it all, which is how the saints would take the kingdom and they will come back into that full sonship and many other things that, you know, spit out in those thunders he was told not to write. He's not going to write it, and he didn't write it. He had to obey the second instruction as well. But it is coming. And God is now revealing here a little. He's never going to put it all out because the devil will mess it up or try to mess it up. It's coming here a little, there a little. But I'm going to deal with some aspect of it over the next couple days. This time I want to focus on your physical advancement. Could be you need to advance in your health. You need to advance in all areas of your life. You need to make movement. You know, movement. Did you know that, you know, the Lord, he cares about everything that we do. Everything. I mean, one time Peter was out fishing all night. He caught nothing at all. I mean, these were skilled fishermen. And then Jesus, he comes in there. Well, of course, he takes care of business first. You know, and then he says to Peter, you know, launch out into the deep and cast your net over on this side, you know, for a drop. Peter thought about it. Said, well, you know, we've been here all night. We caught nothing. But nevertheless, and you heard me refer to those nevertheless moments. Well, that's not exactly what I want to focus on today, but I want to focus on the fact that Jesus cares about what you are doing. You know, I mean, Peter was fishing and he was catching nothing. And Jesus is going to show him that the Son of Man is Lord also over fishing. Glory to God. Praise God. Now, are you in business? Are you a business entrepreneur or whatever it is that you are trying to do? You know, we're going to show you that the Lord is Lord even over that. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter to the Lord. He's got it all covered. We just have to believe the Lord. But there are some things, some spiritual forces that we must cast out. You got to cast them out, thrust them out, destroy them in order for you to possess. You know, the Lord told Jeremiah one time, he said, look, I have set you over the nations, right? And how, what are you going to do? Well, the goal was for Jeremiah to actually do something good. But first, you can't do that. You know, you cannot plant among thorns. You cannot plant your seed on fallow ground. There's a lot of things that you can't do. You do it, you're just wasting your effort. You know, first you got to break up your fallow ground. You know, you got to plow the field. You got to, you know, get all the junk out that's going to stifle, you know, and kill the seed. Got to get them all out. Prepare the place before you plant, you know, and so forth. So the Lord said to Jeremiah, he said, look, I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. Jeremiah 1:10. There's some things I want you to do, but before you can build and plant, first, you've got to root out, and you've got to pull down, and you've got to destroy, and you've got to throw down, then you can build and plant. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me say it to you this way. For you to enter into the promised land, you've got to pass through some of these things that I'll be calling out in the next few days. And you have been trying to pass through, but behold, you have to contend with the Hittites that say you are not going through June. You have to contend with the Girgashites that say you're not going through July. You have to contend with the Amorites that say you're not going through August. You have to contend with the Canaanites that say you're not going through September. You have to contend with the Perizzites that say you're not going through October. You have to contend with the Hivites that say you're not going through November. And you have to contend with the Jebusites that say you're not going through December. You are not going through. You know, but we are going through. Guess what? We are going through. Hallelujah. Because the captain of the host is before us. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, he means business too. Hallelujah. I mean, he's the captain of the host. He means business. And they call him the angel of the Lord. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord. That's what they call him. And he's the captain of the Lord's host. You know, one time, you know, the Lord would show his intentions. He would show his intentions. I mean, sometimes he would say, you know, he would send an angel of the Lord ahead. And then they would say, well, you know, what come you out here to do? You know, what are you out here to do? Are you for us or are you for our enemies? Well, let me ask you this question. Is the angel of the Lord for you? Or for your enemies? Let's read the response in Judges chapter 5. We're going to read from around verse 13 or so. Judges chapter 5. So here is what happened. I'm looking for my scripture here. Okay. When the Lord gives commandments, right? When the Lord gives commandments to his angel to go out and do things, you know, when he goes forth, he goes to do the bidding of the Lord And it's not because of what you want him to do or not. It's because of what he has instructions to do. Praise the Lord. You know, so the Lord, he sent the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord is a captain of the hosts, you know. And then he said, you know, in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua was what I meant. I said Judges. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. He said, are you for us or for our enemies? Well, that was the question. So, what was the answer? Well, let's take a look. And it came to pass, you know, when Joshua was by Jericho, let's take a look at this encounter. You know, when he was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. This is Joshua chapter 5, and verse 13. And behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said to him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Well, now Joshua, I'm going to tell you something about Joshua. This Joshua man, his own is different than Moses. Moses, he was a man that had the rod. Joshua, he had spears and arrows and things like that. This Joshua man, he's not taking any prisoners. You know, and, you know, he said, look, and you know, Joshua, he stood with Moses. Even when Moses came down from the mount, Joshua stood there still. And he was preparing his heart. And then Joshua, eventually Moses had to say to him, now you, Joshua, be strong now, because you are the one that are going to take these people over. Take them in. And he said, well, you know, so Joshua, he saw this angel of the Lord. It really was, but Joshua didn't. He just saw the man. He had a sword. And Joshua was ready to engage. Because look, if you're standing in my front and you have a sword, then, you know, let's get to it. You know, let's get to it. Now, let me ask you your business. Are you here on our side or are you for our adversaries? Because if you are for our adversaries, then we're going to find out right now. We're going to engage. And the answer of the angel of the Lord was very strange. I want you to consider this answer. You know, he said, no. That's no to both questions. I am not here for you. I am not here against your adversaries. I am come as the captain of the Lord's hosts. You know, he has his own agenda. You know, and his agenda is what he's there to do. Not, you know, not to fight for you, not to fight against you. I am here to do the bidding of him that sent me. He said, no, as the captain of the Lord's host, am I now come. Immediately, Joshua, who was ready to engage, he fell down before his face, but now he understands. Now, this man means business. You know, he's not. Don't try to put the angel of the Lord in your pocket. No, you know, he will go before you. He will do, then you follow. He has an agenda, which you may not know. But when he gives you instruction, then you will do. You know, and he's going to give us some instructions over the next couple of days. Well, one instruction for today is, look, you must go in and possess. But for you to do that, you have to thrust out and you have to destroy these seven forces that are trying to prevent you from going in. Well, that's all I'm going to say today. I'm going to pray to prepare our hearts. You know, but you've got to come back into the room tomorrow and the next day. You know, Jesus said, today and the next day, I work miracles. And on the third day, I will be perfected. Well, check it out. You know, we're preparing ourselves for this, you know, advancing into the promise. Well, when the promise is given, The enemy heard it too. You're not the only one that heard it. The devil heard it too. And he's going to make sure, if he has anything to say about that, that you don't obtain. You do not obtain. Wow. He wants to make sure you do not obtain. But the Lord is the one that has promised. He is the captain of the host. And we need to follow him. Hallelujah. The Lord has said to us, you know, that it is the Father's good pleasure, you know, to give us the kingdom. There are seven enemies that we must thrust out. And we're going to deal with them over the next couple of days. Now, this ought to rejoice your heart, but it's also to put your heart in anticipation. You know how the Lord said, you know, well, tomorrow I will do this thing. But he doesn't do it right away. Put your heart in anticipation. Well, over the next couple of days, I want you to also join me in fasting. That's right. You know, come into this room with fasting. And then let's see what the Lord's going to do with us. I mean, for us over the next couple of days. You know, beginning today, you didn't know that because I didn't announce it, but that's okay. But come the next day and come the day after. And let's see what the Lord's going to do. Now, all of the forces that come up against you to try to dispossess you of your possessions, which the Lord had promised you, but which look like they are delayed. Well, here's what that mighty figure in Revelation 10, what he said. What did he say? He swore after he put his hand up, you know, by him that liveth, you know, that created heaven and earth, he swore that there shall be no more delay. That's right. No more delay. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And he, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in there, and the earth and the things that are therein, the sea and the seas, the things and so forth, that there should be time no longer. Well, that means no more delay. Enough already. No more delay. Hallelujah. No more delay. Now the mighty conqueror is ready to possess the heaven, the earth, everything. He's ready. My goodness. His right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. As a song we sing like that. A mighty conqueror is ready to possess. And he's got his right foot on the sea and he's got his left foot on the earth. And he's swearing that there is going to be time no longer. Now, that doesn't exactly mean that there will be no more night and day. That's not what he was saying. Well, that's coming too. But this one is like, no more delay. No more delay. Of all the things that God has declared, even from the beginning, no more delay. And here's how God put it out again in the book of Ezekiel. And you've heard me read these verses before, but they go right along with today's lesson. So I'm going to call them out to you again. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28, the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, I will speak. Well, let me read it to you this way. Thus saith the Lord, I have spoken. Glory to God. And the word which I have spoken unto you at the beginning of this year, that ye shall emerge shall no more be prolonged.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. But he said to them, because they were rebellious in their hearts, they kept saying, well, the vision is for a long time. We don't know that this is going to come to pass. And the Lord said, don't be rebellious like that. The word that I have spoken said, I have spoken it in your days, and in your days will I perform it. Well, I say unto you, the Lord has spoken it for this year, and in this year will he perform it. Now, will you completely arrive? Well, of course not. But you will begin to arrive. And you will begin to drive out all of these seven forces month after month after month, and you'll be getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the center of that promise. Where we are headed is the vortex of his will, right in the center of it. You know, and we are still at the perimeters with all these other things trying to keep us out. And we got to deal with them. We got to break through the garrison of all of these seven nations that are trying to prevent us from getting in. Well, these are spiritual forces that we got to deal with. There shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 12 and 28. But the word which I have spoken unto you this year, it shall be done speedily. Praise the Lord. You know, when the Lord says quickly, it doesn't mean quickly in terms of, you know, an elapsed period of time from, say, some time ago to now, quickly shortening it. But it means when it starts, it will be rapid. When the Lord said, behold, I come quickly. You know, when the events leading to that his coming, you know, actually spring forth, then it will just happen so quickly. Now, when this starts, behold, saith the Lord, when it starts, it shall come like a flood. Glory to God. Now, you know, yes, showers of blessing, trinkles here and there we've had, you know, but we want a deluge. Hallelujah. Something that's going to sweep. Glory to God. Now, the only way to do it, though, is not just cut the head of the snake and, you know, no. Finish him off. You know, not just cut the grass at the head. Weed it completely out. And some things we have to do. And we will do so if God permit. So be here tomorrow by the grace of God. And be here also on Sunday. And over the next few days from now till then, you fast as much as you can. And you put your mind on the Lord. And you come into this room and see what the Lord is going to do. And today and tomorrow, the Lord said, and the next day, I will be perfected. Well, there is something good about to unfold. Something good about to unfold. And right now, at the brink of it, I don't know. Maybe if it were possible for me to split open people's heads or hearts or minds and deposit this thing inside. You know, I mean, that's how intense it is. But I'm speaking slowly because I don't want to get overly excited. I'm pacing myself for what the Lord said he would do. But he can't do it. Hallelujah. And I'm ready. Are you ready? Come, you know, with your vessels, not a few. Come, you know, and position yourself. You got to be, the Lord's going to bless you, but you got to be in the right place to receive it. you know, and you can't stay in the perimeter. You know, the fighting in the perimeter, we've done that enough. We are going to penetrate. Hallelujah. You know, and to penetrate, you get rid of these things. Again, ladies and gentlemen, here are the things that we need to get rid of over the next couple of days. But there are forces over the next 7 months that we need to deal with. But we're going to start dealing with them starting right now. You know, and they have names to them too. Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. All of these seven nations, the Lord told them that are greater and mightier than you. And all of these forces that are trying to prevent you from getting through the promise of the Lord this year, over the next 7 months, we are going to thrust them out and destroy them. And then you will say, ah, when the Lord turned our captivity, then was our mouth filled with gladness. And we're like them that drank. You know, our mouth is filled with laughter. Glory to God. And the people will say, what good and great things the Lord has done for them. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to pray over the room now. And I'm going to pray the Lord will give you strength to set time apart over the next few days. So you got to pay the price sometimes. You know, you got to pay the price. So set some time and come be living. Hallelujah. You know, those forces, and I'll be calling them out starting tomorrow. You know, and all those delays, all those stagnation spirits, and all the other things, I'm going to call them out. And we're going to thrust them out. And then we're going to go in, and we're going to possess. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you are, I want you to raise up your hands and believe the Lord. You know, and let's believe God together. Let's pray and say, Lord, I thank you for your word. Glory to God. You know, and you know, the Lord has begun this good work. He already began it. You know, some of you have already started to taste. You started to see what the Lord can do. And he started to do it. You know, but you're not quite yet there yet. And it seems as if, you know, you started out on a good race, but then all of a sudden, you know, it seems like there is a slowdown, you know, and so forth. Well, you know, listen to this in the book of Obadiah, chapter 1 and verse 18. There's only one chapter, anyhow. But listen to it in verse 18. The house of Jacob shall be like a fire. Remember, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled with blood. But this one shall be like a devouring fire. The house of Jacob shall be like a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. And here are the things that they are going to consume. Not just the house of Esau this time, but these seven nations and things that we call out. Oh yeah. They're going to kindle them, thrust them out, destroy them. Hallelujah. There shall be none of them remaining before you. And then you will go in and possess. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Father, thank you for the glory of God upon your children. Hallelujah. And, you know, I can see a flame And I can see some hands that are trying to cover that flame. But it's not going to happen. It will get burnt. Glory to God. Because we're going to crank up that fire. Can't cover it. Oh, no. And I can see some gates of hell that are trying to prevail. You know, block your path so that you don't get into the promised land. But the gates of hell, my goodness, they cannot prevail because it is he that the Lord that doth go before you and has uttered his strong voice before his camp, and he will be with you, and you will not fear, and you will go forward. Now, we're going to be dealing with many of those things. And of course, fear is one of them. But we'll come to that when we deal with it. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. It is the Lord thy God that doth go before thee. And he will be with you. And he will not fail you. Neither will he forsake you. Therefore, fear not. And be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God, it is he that hath commanded you to go forward. Hallelujah. Therefore, strengthen yourself. Strengthen the hands that hang down. That's what we're going to be doing in the next couple of days. Strengthen the feeble knees. We're going to be doing that too. Cause the head of my people to be lifted up. We're going to be doing that too. And cause them to return to me. Yes. The fountain of living waters. Glory to God. For indeed, you know, the cisterns that you have hurled to yourself, you know, they give you no value. They give you nothing. And these are two evils, the Lord says, that the people have committed. But they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn to themselves cisterns that cannot hold any water. The things that you've trusted in can't hold any water. Therefore, lean upon me quickly, saith the Lord. For I am the captain of the Lord's hosts. And I have gone before you to break in pieces the gates of brass and to cut in sunder the bars of iron, that you may come in and possess. And that you may say, blessed be the Lord, for the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.